Welcome back to Whence Came You, a Freemasonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry. I'm your host, Brother Robert Johnson. This is episode 199. In the news this week, we have very little going on outside of the fact that we are 1 week away from our 200th episode. I don't have much planned for the spectacular event outside of some really cool segments, perhaps. Hopefully we can have a bunch of you guys come on the show and give shout outs to your lodges, things like that. So if you're interested in that, shoot me an email, wcypodcast@gmail.com. If you want to just record the audio and shoot that over to me, that works too. This week, we've got a great show for you. I have Brother Mike Toth from the Valley of Chicago, as well as a past master of Oriental Lodge in Chicago. He is the producer behind the new Masonic television series and the campaign on Indiegogo to bring this to light. They're trying to raise $300,000 to get the ball rolling to produce this first pilot. Now, we all know a pilot doesn't cost just $300,000. They're more along the lines of $7 to $8 million, and they're not asking for that. They're just asking to get the legal fees started and all those good things. So in any case, if you missed TMR last week, we had a great episode. We talked about religion and Freemasonry. It was a hot topic. I had a lot to say, and I didn't get all the time in the world to say it, but we are an hour-long show, so we couldn't get too deep. Tons of awesome comments on that show. I learned a ton from my brothers there, and I think you will too. So check that episode out on YouTube, and it will not disappoint. Also in this episode, we have a visit from illustrious brother Stephen L. Harrison with his amazing Masonic Minute. It will not disappoint. And speaking of brother Stephen L. Harrison, I have great news. The new book, Freemasons at Oak Island, is out. It is a fascinating read. You can blast through it in probably an hour and a half if you want. It is only about 60 to 90 pages. I can't really remember. My Kindle formats the pages in an odd way. Anyway, it's a great book. You can pick it up on Kindle. It's only, and get this, 99 cents. So you've got no excuse to go grab a great book. You can read it on your iPod. You can read it on your iPad. You can buy it on your Kindle. It's just awesome. So check that out. In addition, we do have print copies of Tales from the Craft by illustrious brother Stephen L. Harrison as well. They are $18 and ship anywhere in the United States, $25 internationally, and we matched Amazon's price of $18. So if you're going to buy it on Amazon, that's great. But if you want to buy it from a brother, packaged by a brother, so it comes very nicely packaged for you, go ahead and pick it up on the WCY store. I don't think you will be disappointed. But without any further delay, let's hop right into that awesome interview with Brother Mike Toth.
So my name is Michael Toth. I am a past master of Oriental Lodge number 33, which is, I guess, still the oldest lodge in Chicago. And I was a master in 1993. And I'm a Scottish Rite member and Grotto member. And I am a filmmaker. I make movies for a living. I started this project actually 3 years ago, started thinking about it because 2017 is coming up. And something has to be done about that, at least from our perspective, from Masonic perspective. Jonathan introduced himself. He's 33rd degree Mason and my lodge brother and good friend.
And I was master of Oriental Lodge 10 years after Michael, and I'm a grand lecturer in the Grand Lodge of Illinois and past commander-in-chief of the Valley of Chicago and a variety of other Masonic titles. It would be awkward to go through them, but at any rate, I've been very active in many quadrants of Masonry, York Rite, DeMolay, etc. I was a DeMolay as a youth and have been very active in the fraternity, both on the ritual side and the philosophical discussion part of the fraternity. And I am trying to assist Michael in any way to help get the word out about this project.
By the way, I have to just interrupt Jonathan. I have to say that he was the youngest 33rd commander-in-chief, I think probably in history, of this valley.
Well, we're about to have a younger 33rd, actually. Well,
but you're still the youngest one.
I'm the youngest commander-in-chief.
Commander-in-chief, right. And he became, he got his 33rd degree after the 33rd birthday, is that right?
Yeah.
So now he's 39, so he's a very young guy.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I have to say something good about him because he will never say that. So.
Well, yeah.
Awesome, though. You know, it's rare today to see people in that capacity. You know, it is that 10% of the people do 100% of the work, and to have guys like you guys who are very active, who did your time, per se, in the Blue Lodge, and you continued on with different projects, assisting Grand Lodge of Illinois with lecture. Those are all just fantastic things that we're doing these days, and a lot of guys are doing. You know, most of our listenership are very active members. Let's face it. I mean, the guys who are listening to the show aren't like they're not the guys who. Well, we have two kinds of people who listen to the show, three really. We have the profane who want to join. We have the guys who are at Lodge every week and just can't get enough masonry. And then we have the guys who haven't been able to attend a Lodge in 10 years because they're on the road, and this is the closest they get. Every time we get an email like this, it just makes it all worthwhile. But we're talking with you guys today because of the project that you guys have out. Brother Michael Toth has had a DVD in the past. Came out in the mid-90s, and it's called The Freemasons, Mystery, Myth, and Truth. And it is on DVD, and it's a DVD that many lodges have used to promote the craft. Brother Michael's gotten hundreds of emails thanking him for the DVD and all of the amazing thing that it's done for membership, including California, among other things. The latest project is something you may have seen on social media. You may have seen it on Google or any of your searches about Freemasonry and the TV shows. They're looking to produce a television series about the Freemasons. And looking at 33 episodes at 50 minutes each, the highest production value you can really imagine. They've set the bar pretty high. If you guys have seen the Indiegogo campaign for it and you've watched the video, the aspirations are high, and I think that they can really do it. So at this time, I'd just like to say thanks again for coming on the show. And why don't you talk a little bit about why, after, say, 10, 15 years almost, 16, 17 years ago, you made this amazing film, now is the time to go forward and make a new TV show.
Well, when I made this film in 1990s, first of all, I'm a filmmaker. That's my life. Besides my family that I love so much, there are two things in my life that I really love, which is making movies and Freemasonry. When these two join together, that's like heaven, basically. So I was thinking about this idea for a long, long time, because wherever I go in the world, and I'm Grand Rep for Grand Lodge of Illinois for two different Grand Lodges in Europe, and I often travel and visit different lodges, I assess situation. I know how Freemasonry operates in different countries. It's a little bit different here in the United States. They have their own problems, but we have our own problems, which are much probably bigger than theirs, which is we are declining. We are declining. There are not too many young people really getting involved in Masonry. If we don't do something in the next 10, 15, 20, 30 years, we are going to be very small and insignificant in the society that we live in.
Sure.
That's my ambition, is to change that. I know it sounds pretentious, but it is genuine from my heart drive that I have to do something, because with this little film, which is not so little, it's 1 hour long, 20 some years ago, I feel and I know that I changed things and moved things a little bit. So this craft, our masonry, is better than it used to be. Many young men join masonry just because of that, because they saw the film. Because in this film, the bar was set a little bit higher. It's for people who understand that there is a mystery, but also benefit and social benefit and benefit of peace, people to really find themselves. And that's the greatest reward I ever had, making this film. In the meantime, I made many documentaries and several feature films. But now that I'm coming up in age, I think it's very important for me to do something for the fraternity that I love.
It's interesting that you mentioned earlier that you have done something for Masonry to impact it positively in your lifetime. And for the listeners, you know, we're gathered here at the Valley of Chicago doing this interview in the wonderful library here. And maybe 35 minutes ago, we all just watched a degree together, the 22nd degree in the Scottish Rite in the Northern Jurisdiction. And one of the things they said in the degree is that you need to leave the world a better place than you came into it. And, you know, it's interesting that you mentioned doing that, because you have done that for the craft. And you're setting the bar, you know, really high with a lot of the things you said. You mentioned several popular television shows that have a production value that is just insane. We have shows like Breaking Bad and Game of Thrones and these kind of shows on HBO and FX Network, and they really pull you in. What can you do differently than, say, History Channel has these exposés that come out and show ritual, or they go into, they talk about the conspiracies, this, that, and the other. And, you know, I think part of those have driven interest in the craft as well. Several people have talked about the analytical data, per se, State of Colorado before the book, I'm sorry, before National Treasure came out and before Dan Brown's book came out. And the year after, they had a tremendous influx of interest in the craft. And this is with just a tidbit of Masonic influence in these things, with something as large as 33 50-minute episodes with this kind of production value. You know, if you guys pull this off, it's going to be huge.
Well, that's the hope, and it's not going to be a systematic treatment of every corner of Freemasonry. It's going to be a dramatic, fictional show following the generations of a prestigious Masonic family that has belonged for several generations in the craft. And occasionally you'll get a peek at different aspects of Masonry that are relevant to the overall arc of the show and the series over the course of the three seasons. So the hope is that this will help build a positive image for the craft and increase understanding of the universal teachings of Freemasonry, as well as not violate anyone's obligation. There is not going to be any secrets in this. There is not going to be any inviolable aspects of the craft depicted in it. This will just be showing the principles and some of the traditional philosophical symbols and emblems of the fraternity.
When you guys talked about it in the campaign video, you talked about following this family through history and depicting different eras of Masonic influence, as well as following a natural progression of time. When are you looking to kind of start the story, and where are you taking it as far as linear time is concerned?
The story starts today, in the present. And like you can see the trailer that I made, it's very hard to make a trailer when you don't have any footage.
Right.
So you have to imagine things and then create something that you're making trailer for something that does not exist. But when you see the trailer, you get quite a good idea about what is the hero's journey, as we would say. We start from today's perspective. It's about a young man who's finding his own identity and finding out that he belongs to the family tree, that he's probably the last drop of blood in this huge tradition that probably lasted about 10 centuries, from medieval Knights Templars to today's Masons. Now, from that starting point, and from all the things that happen and the drama that happens today in his life, he is going to be initiated in a fraternity of Freemasons like his whole family generations before have done. So from that point on, he will learn about his ancestors going back in time and jumping back in time and learning about his ancestor in 1300s, and as well as during the American Revolutionary War or the Second World War, and will go back and forth. But connecting this one family, which is basically connected to the Masonry very strongly, will tell the story also about Masons with all turbulences and tribulations during the time of struggling for Freemasonry to get out from the dark into the light, to present itself and to change the world. That's basically the story. I don't want to reveal
Sure. Yeah,
all absolutely. The details. Yeah. It's in a script, and there is a little bit in a trailer, but we'll cover many periods. Of course, we cannot cover all 10 centuries,
sure.
But we do have 33 episodes, and very much those 33 episodes will be based on 33rd degrees or the morals of the 33rd degrees of Scottish Rite Freemasonry. It doesn't mean that we'll follow any ritual work from that, but symbolically and metaphorically, we'll have the morals tell through those different stories in different episodes that will correspond to degrees of Freemasonry.
That sounds exciting. When you talk about jumping back and forth in time, you know, many people, you know, they're into video games and stuff. There's a popular video game franchise, Assassin's Creed, which deals with a guy who can hop in a machine and he goes back in time and lives one of his ancestors' lifetimes. And I can't help but think about that and the popularity of that franchise, and you guys really have an opportunity to not just tap into it, but almost take it over. I mean, that franchise depicts Templars as the bad guys. However, I think that it's going to be a very exciting project for you guys. I'm really excited to see it. Where can people go? How can they help? What can we do to help get this made?
Well, there is a campaign on Indiegogo. If you search for Mason's TV series pilot, you will find the campaign with materials on the trailer and explaining what we're trying to do with the show and the options for making a donation to contribute and be part of the effort to make this pilot a reality. Once the pilot is made, then we can try to shop at the networks and try to get a venue to get it out to the masses, but we have to start with the seed to pull the pilot together. And the Indiegogo campaign is the place to be part of the crowdsourcing campaign.
Very cool. You know, there's been a lot of talk about campaigning to get a project done. There was some heat a couple of years back when a famous actor, a guy named Zach Braff, tried to crowdfund a movie. And to the dismay of most people, he met those goals and he made this movie and it did really well. And since then, it's actually become a most accepted way to help fund a project these days. Sometimes a Hollywood producer is not going to be into something that might be worth something. I think this provides an excellent opportunity for not just brothers, but profane as well, to be able to step into an active role, to get something made that will make a difference. What is the goal that you guys are looking at getting? I know there's an initial goal and a final goal. And with that initial goal, how much are you guys trying to raise?
The initial stage, we're trying to raise $150,000. We've broken that, the complete stage of the campaign, to two steps of $150,000. So $300,000 total, but $150,000 with the current campaign on Indiegogo. And then we'll follow that up with a phase two shortly thereafter.
Yeah, it's very interesting. And anybody listening, I mean, $150,000 does sound like a lot of money, but you have to understand that this is going to be high production value. It is going to be a TV series. I remember a long time ago, I was watching an interview with Leonard Nimoy about Star Trek, and he said back in his day, they shot an entire episode of Star Trek and paid all the bills with what it costs to cater a set of one episode on today's television. So we have to keep that in mind, that nothing is free. And if you guys want to see this get made, we need to fund the campaign. We will have links in the show notes to fund that campaign. But at this time, I'd like to, you know, ask you guys if there's anything else you'd like to tell our listeners about that you want them to know about this project and anything else.
Well, first of all, I would like to just explain that it is very expensive to make something like this. This is our initial funding of $300,000 just to start, to pay for legal fees, for getting the crew, preparing everything, finishing the script, hiring the writers. There has to be probably 8 or 10 writers who will work on this series. It's a huge project. The average budget for the project, for the pilot of this size, is about between $5 and $7 million. But when it's picked up by HBO or Netflix or Showtime or AMC, every episode is between $5 or $7 or $10 million, which is, you can imagine, the whole project, which will be 33 episodes, would be probably more than $200 million. We are not going to foot that bill, obviously. We can't. But our initial money of $300,000 will help us prepare everything and get the private investors, that there are already several of them interested. But the most important point is that we need to be independent. We cannot get this project go away to some Hollywood company, that they will do whatever they want to do with this and dumb it down and make it simplistic and make us bad.
Or right. Sensationalize it.
That's exactly. That's the whole point of making this, because we can control what we say and make it extremely exciting and very popular and entertaining at the same time.
So, I mean, essentially, you're talking about a real for Masons, by Masons kind of thing without having the, I mean, it's for Masons, by Masons, but the way you guys are going at it, I mean, it's really going to not just attract Masons. I think you guys are going to see lots of interest. And it's interesting you said, you know, shopping around to certain companies like Netflix and stuff, because these guys are having their own shows out now that are phenomenal. I mean, when they first said that they were going to do shows, I had my doubts. You know, I've been a Netflix user for several years, yet some of their programming is some of the top-rated stuff that's out there.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. I really think you guys have something with this.
People that are considering becoming part of the campaign, we also want to make sure they understand they can be part of the effort of the direction this series could take. We will be engaging in forums, discussions of periods of history, different examples of where Masonry stood tall and maybe where it didn't stand as tall in points with Africa Lodge and Prince Hall, or with the Masonic Affair and Captain Morgan, different areas that may be a little bit of a grayer area for Masonic history. But all periods, French Revolution, Civil War, you name it, we're going to be covering different Masonic aspects of how that unfolded, and a lot of it involving this Sinclair family direct participation.
It'll be interesting. I was looking at just recently History 2 did their Sons of Liberty, and it was just so phenomenal to watch that. I'm a huge fan of that era of our history. And me, as well as countless Masons from around the world, were watching and waiting for something in that show to be Masonic. And we just didn't get it. And, you know, I'm really hoping that with this, it's going to just take something that that was entertaining like that show was and take it to the next level in Masonic terms.
I think that we would really fail if we make this program, the series, only for Brother Freemasons. We have to make it for much larger audience. So the population, wherever this show is going to be presented and shown, and probably if we succeed, it's going to be seen in every single country in the world. People will get completely different perception and image about the Freemasonry. And what I hope will set the bar so high for young people to come and knock at our door. And then we can pick and choose and get the best man for the best job that will change the world. That's what I deeply believe, that Freemasonry is God-given organization that is the one who can save the world. The world how is right now, it's not the world that I would like to live, or my son or my grandson in the future. And I think Masonry is the most important part. And like I say, non-governmental organization, the biggest ever made, who might change things around. And that's my deepest goal and my greatest ideal.
Well, I have to thank you so much. It's very touching, your words about the craft. Thank you so much, Michael and John, for being on the show today. I can't thank you enough.
Thank you.
All right, I hope you did enjoy that interview. It was just fantastic to sit down with those guys in the Valley of Chicago's library. It was just the three of us in there. We had no interruptions. It was really awesome. There was tons of fellowship going on downstairs in the hall, and we just got to get away for a few minutes and have a good sit down and talk about this project. So I hope you guys are just as excited as I am about this. Any campaign has an ability to go unnoticed, go unfunded, but I really think this has a great shot. And I think with your guys' help, it can be something we can all be proud of. And I hope you guys check it out. I hope you guys, you know, toss them, you know, any money you can. I know that it all helps. None of us are rich guys. We're all doing this out of the labor of love and for the craft. So I think in the interest of keeping this funded by Masons so that Masons can tell Masons' story and engage Masons as well as engaging the rest of the world in a great story. I think we have a shot at that. So check it out. The links will be in the show notes. And with that, we're going to move right along to the ways to support the show. So how do you support the show? Well, of course, we have the apps. Or rather, we had the apps. Now, because of your continued support, we're able to offer the app for free. So if you want to get the application for your mobile device, just head on over to the Podcast Source application, download that, and search Whence Came You. You'll have access to all of the bonus features, including the papers that we read on the show, as well as a Masonic wallpaper for your mobile device. Other ways to support the show, now that we have that out of the way, we offer our WCY lapel pins, which just say Whence Came You. They are non-show branded. They're a really nice Masonic pin that we've done here, thanks to Brother Jason Richards and Brother Juan Sepulveda. They designed the pin for us, and I think it is fantastic. We're getting great reviews on the pins, and that same design is featured on our cufflinks, on our tie bars, and yes, our money clips. And those are extremely limited, so do check those out on the WCY Podcast store. We also have our campaign style button pins and our direct donations, so you can just choose to donate a dollar or two or a reoccurring amount if you'd like. Any donations we get go right into the production of this show. They stay in that account, and the people who host the audio files just debit that account, so this is its self-running machine, and this is how we keep it going. If you'd like to do some shopping, you can check out one of three or all three, either Onnit.com, and check out some great healthy living supplements, things like Alpha Brain, which is my personal favorite. You can check out FreemasonryArt.com, where Brother Juan Sepulveda has released some great artworks. And you can check out FreemasonTees.com, where you can find some of the most original t-shirt designs out there, for Masons, that is. And now we're going to go right into illustrious Brother Stephen L. Harrison and the Masonic Minute.
Apart from its physical pain, death, and destruction, the American Civil War is well known as a fight that inflicted emotional agony on families having some members with allegiances to the North and others supporting the South. Historians often note it was a war where brother fought brother. In even more cases, it was a war where Masonic brother fought against Masonic brother. Stories abound about Freemasons who fought brutal battles against one another one day and then met together in brotherhood under a flag of truce the next. There are, in fact, so many accounts of Masonic brotherly love during the Civil War that Brother Michael Halloran has written a book about them entitled The Better Angels of Our Nature. Seeing this kind of brotherly bonding was the sole factor behind President William McKinley's decision to join the craft. The friend-to-friend Masonic Memorial in the Gettysburg National Cemetery depicts a scene where the mortally wounded Confederate General Lewis Armistead entrusts his personal effects to Union Captain Henry H. Bingham, knowing him to be a brother Freemason. The oldest Masonic building in the U.S. stands today in Richmond, Virginia, only because a Union general ordered his own troops not to destroy it. And the Union general Thomas Hart Benton, former Grand Master of Iowa, ordered his troops to surround and protect Albert Pike's southern estate and its precious Masonic library. It is not surprising, then, to learn that just after the end of the Civil War, on April 17, 1865, Union and Confederate Freemasons met together at Hiram Lodge 40 in Raleigh, North Carolina. Worshipful Master John Nichols, who later became a U.S. Congressman, opened the lodge and was presiding when members heard an alarm at the outer door. The tiler entered and announced a courier had just brought news of the assassination of Abraham Lincoln. Even with the war over, brothers realized this could cause trouble, and they all rushed out without closing the lodge. Hiram Lodge 40 remained open for exactly 50 years, until April 17, 1915, the 50th anniversary of that auspicious meeting, when members gathered to commemorate the event and formally close the lodge. Incredibly, the same worshipful master, John Nichols, who had himself opened the lodge in 1865, sat in the east and presided over its closing. For the Whence Came You podcast, I'm Steve Harrison with the Masonic Minute.
All right, let's hear it for Brother Stephen L. Harrison and the Masonic Minute. If you enjoyed that, I would definitely recommend checking out the YouTube channel for WCY Podcast. We do have the Masonic Minute set up there as a bi-monthly release where there is video to accompany the audio. So the short Masonic videos, just a couple minutes long there for you, and those come out every time the episode comes out. So at 9:30 on Sunday nights, the new video goes live, as well as the podcast. So if you're just into that and maybe you don't want to catch the podcast this week or for whatever reason, you can just check out those videos, and I would check them out anyway because Brother Stephen L. Harrison puts a lot of work into them, and it is nice to see some visuals to go along with the awesome commentary. So again, many thanks to Brother Stephen L. Harrison, and if you enjoyed that, I know you will enjoy Tales from the Craft. So go pick that up, and again, that 99-cent Kindle book, Freemasons at Oak Island, is pretty awesome. And so now we're going to go into the famous Freemason of the week. So this week's famous Freemason is Hubert Eaton, born June 3rd, 1881, passed away September 20th, 1966, was an American businessman. Born in Liberty, Missouri, Hubert Eaton and Charles Sims entered into a contract with Forest Lawn Cemetery in Tropico, now Glendale, California, to manage the sales of burial property in 1912. In 1917, Eaton convinced the then Memorial Park concept, and Forest Lawn Cemetery was renamed Forest Lawn Memorial Park. He envisioned Forest Lawn as a place for the living, having sweeping lawns and noble architecture, stained glass, and a place that uplifted the community rather than being a place of sorrow. Eaton became noted as the builder of the Forest Lawn Glendale. During his life, he surprised the opening of Hollywood Hills Forest Lawn Memorial Park Cypress and Forest Lawn Memorial Park Covina Hills in the greater Los Angeles, California area, which became the funeral and or internment location for many movie stars, including famous Freemasons and other celebrities. With several beautiful chapels throughout the Glendale Cemetery Park-like setting, it has also served as the wedding location for well-known celebrities, including U.S. President Ronald Reagan and his first wife, Jane Wyman. Eaton's international connections enabled him to attract an incredible number of important artworks to his memorial parks. He was well-known around the world as a collector and was respected at the highest levels of many governments. Upon his death in 1966, Eaton was entombed in the Memorial Court of Honor in the Great Mausoleum in his Glendale Cemetery. His friend Walt Disney himself, too ill to attend, was an honorary pallbearer at Eaton's funeral. Disney would die weeks later and was cremated and interred at Glendale. Brother Eaton was also a chemist, and he was a member of Euclid Lodge No. 58, Great Falls, Montana. That's it for this week. Please remember to find us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at Whence Came You, and check us out on Google Plus at the email address wcypodcast@gmail.com. Please don't forget about the Midnight Freemasons, publishing 3 articles every single week, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. They go live at 7 a.m. Central Time, that is, 5 a.m. for our West Coast readers, and I guess it'd be 8 o'clock for our East Coasters. So please check those guys out, and don't forget about the Masonic Roundtable. I know I remind you guys every week, but we go live at Tuesday nights, 10, 9 Central, and we just have a great time, and I invite you all to take part in the conversations there by live tweeting during the show, asking us questions on social media. That's how you can get in on a part of the show and make your voice heard just the same. And of course, it's a video show, but the podcast comes out mere hours later, so you can then hear yourself in the morning if we get to talking about you. But in any case, we thank you so much for watching that program, for reading the Midnight Freemasons, and for listening to the show. I really can't thank you guys enough. 200 episodes is upon us, guys. I don't know what to say. The gratitude that I feel for everybody who listens and everybody who writes the show and tells me their stories, it's just so humbling. And I, again, have no words for the gratitude that I have for you guys. It's just huge, because without Masonry, I wouldn't be here. Without my mentors, I wouldn't be here. And without you guys, I wouldn't be doing this week after week after week. I had no intention of doing this week after week after week when I first started, but the downloads were happening. I saw the need for something like this after some of our brothers had stopped doing their podcasts, and we needed something. So I thank you for sticking with us through thick and thin, through the ups and downs of the volume changes, through the many different iterations of the show. Thank you so much, because you guys make it what it is today. Again, thank you. Until next week, guys, stay on the level. For Whence Came You, I'm Robert Johnson.